My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this episode for Sunday, June 19th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give the show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe for $3 a month for hours and hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 580. There's no guests. It's just me sitting here in my apartment late on a Friday afternoon and giving you the goods. Happy Juneteenth. I hope some of you get the day off. I don't know. I know my company doesn't, but the traffic reporter on the news channel that I watch was talking about, Monday is going to be a holiday. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. For some it is. So enjoy it. Enjoy your Juneteenth. Happy Father's Day to everybody, to all the dads out there. This is going to be rough. This is my first one without the late, great Aubrey Jean Lambert. I've always said this on the show, like, just be thankful. If you have a father figure in your life, call him up. You know, they always say it's a fucking commercial thing. It's just commercial. But it's a time to recognize, you know, your dad, Mother's Day and Father's Day. You know, two of the, out of all the commercial holidays, when you become older and jaded, they are special, especially if you still have those family members around, your parents around. Always said, you know, even before my dad passed, to cherish him, call him, make every day Father's Day. But it's probably going to be rough for me. I'll be busy this weekend, but I've kind of been having the pangs of it all for the past week or so. Would have been his 81st birthday was April 14th. That was okay. I think I just went to a movie, and you know, he loved movies. It's gonna be rough. So I would just say cherish your parents, because you don't know how long you're going to have them. But I was fortunate, like I said, when I reissued that episode that we did a few years back. What did I say? I thought I was going to say something something profound. But to cherish your parents. And and I think, just cherish them, because you're not going to have them. Oh, I know what I said. I know what I said in January. I think I said something about, I thought that I had it, then I lost it again. Cherish your parents, cherish your loved ones. I was fortunate to have him for 41 years and about 9 months or something, like 9 or 10 months, give or take. I had him for a long time, and he was great. And it just seems like it's never enough time, especially after they're gone. And he knew how I felt about him, and I knew how he felt about me. But these would be one of those days where I would just give him a card or something, or send him a movie or something, and I would try to make him cry. I would try to get him a really nice card to make him cry. And not in a bad way, but just to get him emotional and stuff. So yeah, it sucks. But again, cherish your loved ones. On to a couple lighter things. So I had a pretty good weekend last week. I went up to Saratoga Springs and worked at the Comedy Works up there. First weekend headlining there, and it was fun. I had a great time. Really just starting to headline slightly more than I normally would, which is a good thing. And the incremental progress, if you can't, somebody's car alarm's going off. Now it's not anymore. Sorry, guys. The sounds of Hackensack, New Jersey. Incremental progress. When you can't skyrocket to fame, you have to hold on to the incremental progress. And enjoy the journey is what they say. But I've been enjoying my journey. So it's been fun. It was fun. The journey's been fun. It was fun to headline. Saratoga Springs is so beautiful. The first time I was there was in 2015. And I was opening for comedian Kyle Grooms, very funny comic. And it was 2015, and it was just winter. I think it was February of 2015, and it was so cold. It was winter, and I didn't really get to experience the city, because when I got up there, that area, I don't know what they call Saratoga Springs, the village or whatever, I don't know. But it's beautiful up there, and I didn't really get to experience it at you know, because it was nighttime, it was cold, and there weren't many people out there. And then I can't remember if I was there at the beginning of 2018 or 2019. I did a New Year's Eve show. I got I filled in for somebody, or they needed somebody. I think they just kind of randomly put a show up, and I was able to do it. I actually worked that day, and then after work, I just headed up to Saratoga Springs and did the show, and it was a lot of fun. I had a blast, and then after that, it had been some time, then the pandemic hit, and so it was nice to get there. And I didn't know that I was going to be up there until that week, and I just my manager called me, and I was like, yeah, let's do it, let's make it happen, you know, because it's always cool to get to headline a place where you featured at or MC'd at, you know. It shows like it's growth. And so I got to do a long set there, and it was great. It was beautiful. I just kind of hung out. I didn't really do much. The horse races hadn't started yet. Saratoga Springs is where they have a lot of the racetracks and stuff like that. I'm not really into it, but I think the next time if I'm booked there again, I'll during the season, I'll have to check it out. All I did was I went to the grocery store because I stayed in Hilton Homewood Suites. And it had a refrigerator, so I just brought some like fruits and water and stuff, and some other things. But and then I went to Barnes and Noble. I wanted to get the new Howard Bryant book, the Ricky Henderson biography, and I bought another book called Tracy Flick Can't Win, which is the sequel to his book that came out in the late '90s, Election. Which became one of my all-time favorite films that came out in 1999, where Reese Witherspoon was fucking robbed. And man, I finished this fucking book. I think this book is how many pages? I got it right here. Got it right here in my hand at my desk here. It was 257 pages. It's a quick read because it's like it's told from the perspective of different characters in the book, and then there's some third person stuff going on too. But it's fucking good. And I remember the first time, like, I didn't know that Election was based on a novel. When I first saw it in 1999, I remember dragging my parents, not my parents, dragging my cousins down to Waldorf, Maryland. And if those of you that know the area, it was below St. Charles Town Center. It wasn't the Lowe's, which used to be a Lowe's back then. I forget the name of what it used to be, but it was like on the other side, kind of in the cut on the opposite side of the road, like further back in the woods. And they had like a little movie theater that played like art house movies. I saw Love Jones there and played Election, like this, you know, MTV Films. It makes me want to actually watch that movie again. I have it on Criterion, and I have it on DVD. But yeah, I love that movie. And when I read the first book, I finished that in a day, and it wasn't that long. It's very compelling. It's very interesting. And I hope that they do a sequel to it. I hope that they put it on film, because now the Tracy Flick character has become so iconic. You know, Reese Witherspoon was early 20s when she filmed that. And now this Tracy Flick character is in her mid 40s. So it's really good. It's really good. And the commentary that it's by Tom Perrotta. And he also wrote Little Children, which became a film, which is also great. He wrote The Leftovers, which turned into a TV show on HBO. Also Mrs. Fletcher, which also became a TV show. He just writes the way that he writes is cinematic also. You can just kind of see everything. He paints pictures with his words, is what I'm saying, guys. And yeah, it's just so good. And I hope, you know, I was listening to him, Tom Perrotta, on some podcast, and he was talking about, you know, they're in talks. So I'm hoping that happens. I would love to see Reese Witherspoon reprise this role. And he was saying, you know, hey, you know, if Tom Cruise can do it with Maverick, Reese Witherspoon can do it with Election. And it would be a lot less money. And it would be, I think they'd have a built-in audience. So that would be fucking awesome if they did that. I hope they do that shit. Cause this book is kind of, there's things that happen in it that are like of the times, like really of the times, and just really, really great. It's just a fun read. It's like a fun summer read, I guess. I haven't cracked the Ricky yet, but man, like, I was just out and I just figured, you know what? I very rarely go on vacation. I want those two books, because I didn't know that he was planning a sequel for this until a week before it came out. And I was like, oh shit, I gotta get on this. And then Howard Bryan's joint came out, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna go. And I probably in hindsight I should have ordered the books so I could have them to take up to Saratoga, but I didn't. And if I were to try to look, I was like, oh, I won't get it until, you know, like I'm already up there and I have the perfect situation to just chill and read. So I went, man, those two books, $60 at Barnes and Noble. And I looked on Amazon at least had the Tracy Flick joint for $17. And it's like, you, Barnes and Noble's a brick and mortar store, but it's still a conglomerate. And it's, I don't know what's better, Amazon or what's worse to society, is Amazon. I don't know. Amazon or Barnes and Noble. Who knows? Who treats their employees better? probably I don't know. But yeah, I was like, fuck it. I'll get them. But yeah, everything's expensive. It's not just the gas, folks. Gas and groceries and books, everything's more expensive now. What else, guys? I got some more stuff. So I did that show. That was a good weekend. I got to see a friend. I went to this place. I had brunch with a friend. We went to this place called Hattie's in Saratoga Springs. You probably heard me talk about this place before. I'm sure you have. If you listen to the show long enough, you know that I mentioned it. So there was, when I first was up there in 2015, I was looking for something to eat after the show the first night. And the one of the guys, he was white, and he said, oh, you should go to Hattie's. I said, what are you trying to say? No, this is what he said. He said, you should go to Hattie's. They got great fried chicken. I said, what the fuck you trying to say? Because I'm black? He was like, no, because the chicken's good. And I went, and it was spectacular. It was spectacular. So every time I was in that area, I'd try to go. And there was one time in particular, I think this had to be like 2017, 2018. Whenever I started doing these shows in Waterloo, New York, upstate New York, way up. So Waterloo is probably 2 or 3 hours northwest of Saratoga Springs, and it's on the way. You just kind of make a detour. And so I got up early to go to Hattie's when it opened. I get there, it was closed for a private brunch. I was sick, and I ended up going to this hotel restaurant that was overpriced and was not good at all, and I was mad. And I'm mad that I paid that money. And then when I ate dinner up there, the buffet food at the casino was way better than the breakfast that I had at that hotel, that swanky, expensive, overpriced fucking hotel restaurant. And that's the second time. I think that's the first time. Well, the Borgata has good food. Their cafeteria is good. What's that casino? Del Lago Casino. They had good buffet food. And this place, I forget the name of this place in Delaware. I think it's in Harrington Park or something. Whatever the casino is that has a raceway connected to it or something. That was good. And they had really good seafood. It was great. I was just really disappointed. And so the next time I was out there, ended up going back to Hattie's. I don't even think I tried to go on my way back, but I was really bummed out. So if you're ever in the capital region of New York State, if you're ever in Albany, Troy, Saratoga Springs, it's worth your time to, make a trip to Hattie's. It's in downtown Saratoga Springs. It's off the main strip. And I remember, like, so this past weekend, I was telling my friend, I was like, yeah, I think we should go. They open at 10. She was like, oh, what about 10:30? And I was like, I think we should just switch to 10 o'clock. I think we should just get there because it's going to start to be a line. And there was a line, and we were early enough, so we were in line. We didn't have to wait that long. But by the time we got out, when we finished eating, there were people like wrapped around. So it's definitely worth it. Good chicken. I think I had chicken and waffles, and she had like some eggs Benedict that she liked, and they had deviled eggs. I got some of those. Oh, so good. So good. And then this past Wednesday, a couple nights ago, I was at the Stress Factory for the first time since the pandemic. I think I might have been there. The last time I was there might have been in 2019. And so I was happy to be back there. Shout out to Ken Krantz. He had a night at the Stress Factory. Had a nice crowd there. Did like 15 minutes. Just worked out. Worked some stuff. Stuff that I've been repurposing a little bit. And it was fun. Had a really good time. I love that place. I've said this before on the show, where it's one of my favorite places to perform because the crowds there, There were some girls that were really drunk and didn't say anything during my set. But then we had another comedian, Bonnie McFarlane, who's a veteran comic, very funny. And I actually told her this because she's one of the first headliners. Like when I started comedy, she was one of the first headliners that I opened for. And I just watched her work a room, and she had really funny jokes, but it was just great to watch her work the room, you know, like really just do the job of a headliner and do it really well. And I brought that up to her, and she didn't, I think she ended up remembering, but then, I enjoyed seeing her and talked to her. So she did her thing, but the women were being assholes when the female comic was up, and she ripped them to shreds, but those girls were assholes. And then the manager of the club was saying, she was telling me like those girls were just ripped out of their minds, and they came back and because one of the girls forgot her wallet, and it was just like, yeah, it's just people. One, these young girls don't know how to hold their liquor. And then two, it's like, they're just being fucking rude. Some people, you know how to act, but I kind of see that where people are just like, I don't know, like they know if they don't know how to talk to each other anymore. I don't know what it is. And then this one guy, like I was walking back to my car to the parking deck, and this guy comes up to me and saying his ATM card won't work. Could he have some money? I was like, no. I was like, I'm sorry, man. It's just like, it's, I know JL and I were talking about giving people money last week, but I was like, no, dude, I'm not. You look like you're a tennis player. He's a tennis player or something. And it was just weird. Just get a better scam, bro. He didn't look like he needed money, but he was just trying to scam. I don't know. What do I know? But I had fun doing comedy that night, and it worked out because I didn't have to, because Stress Factory's about an hour drive, and I didn't have to get up early that morning to go to the office. I just worked from home, so that was good. So getting back into comedy, I think I got a date next month at some point. I'm trying to put into work at some other places, but I'm working on some stuff, so it feels good to get back at it, to be in a bit of a swing. And I've just been auditioning for stuff. Shooting something next week. I booked a gig that I'm shooting next week. I booked it over a month ago, I think almost a month ago, and they kept moving around the dates. And I got a thing, you know, like, finally, you're going to shoot next week and blah, blah, blah. So that's cool. I get to shoot something, feel like an artiste for a while, for a day, like an actor. And that's also awesome. Another really cool thing, I don't know how long this will be, this might be a quick one, but the Lehman Trilogy won 5 Tonys, which is incredible. My first big movie that I was involved in got Oscar nominations and should have won. At least Melissa McCarthy should have won, Richard Grant should have won, but they did not. But the play still prestigious. The movie's still great. Can You Ever Forgive Me? Directed by Muriel Heller, co-starring Chris Lambert as the exterminator. I don't even remember. I was like, hey, you got to clean this. I don't even remember what I said. Anyway, so that was pretty great. Really, really humbling. And I saw these people, like a couple that I knew that were like adjacent to this. I see how people, cause it's a big event. It's like, it's the Oscars. The Tonys are the Oscars for theater, for, especially for Broadway. And, it's a huge deal. And for me to come from where I come from and to get that part, like I talked about it, the way that I got that part, and it was so cool. Even though I had a small part in it, I was, you know, whatever, it was still it was still pretty amazing to be a part of something like that. Because there's so many talented people that work on a production like that. And the three guys in the show, Adam Godley, Simon Russell Beale, and Adrian Lester, just incredible. And it's one of those shows where it's like, yeah, this is going to get nominated. They're probably going to all three get nominated in the same category. This is probably going to get nominated for Best Play, Best Director. Amazing. Amazing. And they did have an after party in the city, but I didn't go because I had to fucking go to work the next day. And then I had just been traveling. I'm not a party guy. And two, it's kind of like, you know, I kind of have that feeling where it's like, I was in it, you know, with, you know, felt kind of weird about it. My manager yelled at me. But then I saw pictures of some of the cast, some of the people in my department, like the cast, some of my direct castmates were in there holding one of the Tonys. And part of me felt like, This is some arrogant shit to say, and I don't care. But I kind of felt like it's not mine to hold, even though I was part of it. It's not mine. And would a picture look cool for social media and all that stuff? Yeah, probably would look cool. Probably would get a few likes, but it ain't mine. And I kind of felt like I did in high school when I graduated from high school. I got my degree, and I was walking with my father, and he said, you know, this ain't shit, right? He got like, the real thing is like 4 years down the line, you get your degree. Cause he didn't finish his degree, and he wanted to make sure I finished mine. And then we got, as a picture of the two of us, I took one with both my parents in the picture. I think one of each, but I think it would be a picture with the three of us with him holding the degree. It was a really cool pic that we had. It's from like 20 years ago. But I kind of feel like there's more in store. Is it arrogant to say that? Probably. Not to say that I'm going to win a Tony or an Oscar, but I think there will be more in the history books to write than to just be more than adjacent to those prestigious awards, even though I was a part of the production. If you look to show up on whatever Broadway's version of IMDb, whatever that is, like, you know, you'll see that I'm in there. And then I saw people that were in the San Francisco cast, whatever the LA cast, that they, I saw somebody get tagged, and I was like, oh, they're posting about it, I'm going to fucking post. And I posted about it. And it's something to be proud of. I'm extremely proud to be a part of it. But I think there's more. I think there's more out there for me. And I feel like the universe is telling me. I think the universe is telling me there's something else out there for me. Not to say that, you know, I'm going to be big and famous. But the goal has always been to not have to do TPS reports anymore. And I think that's really, the older you get, the more that you get abused by time. It's just like, if I could just not have to do this, where the dreams get narrowed down a little bit, you know. And it's not about the fame. It's about what does Mos Def say? The artist formerly known as Mos Def, he says, the fortune, not the fame. This thing is not a game here. The fortune, not the fame here, you know. That's not to say that I'm not going to have any artistic merit to what I do, but I really do think it's something more out there. So I don't, that's why part of me feels like I would probably not want to hold anybody else's Tony Award. One of the reasons why I don't go to the Comedy Cellar to, hang out, because I'd rather be working on something. Rather be working on my jokes, actually performing to get better, and then hopefully one day get to work there as a rite of passage, because of what my friends, people that some of my friends do, some of my friends have done. But I'm not basing my whole career on those achievements, but it would be nice. I would be lying to you if I said it wouldn't be nice to get those achievements. But yeah, I think there's something else. There was a time like in 2012, almost like probably like 10 or 11 years ago, around that time, where I was getting frustrated with stuff and I was looking to try to make some other moves. I don't know if I was going to, not to say that I was going to quit show business, but there were things that, you know, people were supposed to, like, said that they were going to help do for me that they didn't do. And it was kind of good that they didn't, because I was still up here. And if I wasn't still up here, I wouldn't have been able to tour with Chris Hardwick and to really get to see my chops, the stuff that I had worked on in these basements, in these dungeons of New York City and Brooklyn and Queens, that it could work on the road in these venues where the stakes were high, where I had to prove something to myself, not necessarily to just to an audience, but to myself. And for good reason, there were those where the universe was telling me, hey, you got more to see up here. You've got more to see here, and there's other things that you need to experience before you move on. And I think I'm kind of going through that now. 10 years later, I feel like I'm going through the same thing, but I don't know what it is. I'm just trying to keep my head down and keep doing the things that I know is right. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. Do you guys feel that way sometimes, where you're pushing for something? There's a time where I was like pushing for Montreal and trying to get, like, they'll make announcements for the Montreal Comedy Festival in a couple weeks, or like in early to mid July or something like that, about the New Faces show. You've heard me talk about Montreal, like chasing it, just like, because my friends did it, my friends that are further along than me did it. And the thing is, things that they weren't doing, you know, me and the homie Damian Lemon talked about it sometime last year when he was on. And then when I stopped chasing it, things got, you know, things changed for me in a way that I didn't see coming. But I would just constantly just had my head down and trying to work. And I think I'm in that same situation where I'm trying to level up in life. And it's not always easy, because I'm human. I'm just like you guys. Now that I'm talking this out, I'm kind of like, it's kind of something that I've been ruminating over for a while. Just trying to figure stuff out. But I'm thankful for the people that have helped, and I'm thankful for the people that didn't. And I was thinking, like, and I got angry. I was thinking about, like, a week or two ago. I talked to my aunt over the weekend, my dad's twin sister. And we were talking about family stuff, and there are things that, like, people in my family could have done better with regards to my parents, because my parents both, on both sides of the family, helped out a lot. And then when it comes, when they were in need, they could have had more support from other family members on both sides. And it just made me, I'm still angry about it, and I'm trying not to harbor that anger. And you think about, like, and the Tonys were really, that was kind of like a victory. Cause when I found out that the show had gotten like some of the most nominations for this year, I was about to leave. I don't know if I told this before on the show, but a couple weeks ago when they made the announcement, it popped up on New York Times. The app popped up on my phone. It said the Lehman Trilogy nominated, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just broke down crying, because I was just thinking about all the stuff that I'm trying not to cry now, that both my parents did to just get me to being an extra in that play on Broadway to for them to not even put us in the fucking playbill, for us to be an insert in the fucking playbill of the show that we were in. I guess it's new rules that they're working on, that Actors Equity's working on, or Broadway is working on, because that extra thing is new. It's a new thing that I think just happened with another show that I can't think of the name right now. That was like the first time that they did it. But then to just get to that level, because there were a lot of, you know, say, oh, you was just in, you weren't even in. But it's like, yo, there were hundreds of people, probably maybe even 1,000 people that auditioned for those parts. And to get there, the sacrifices, the way that I was able to live like I was one of the people that when I was in my early to mid 20s, when I was like one of those people that said, oh, my parents didn't have money like that, but they made sure I was safe and protected, had a nice place to stay, because they knew because I was working, they backed me up. And just to think about those sacrifices, it was like, that was a victory in and of itself. And every time I get a residual check, I just think of my dad who came into some money and gave some of it to me to pay my dues, to pay my initial fee off. And to think of those sacrifices that both my parents made, it's just like, wow, like, holy shit. That's something. That's huge. But I think, and because I had an aunt, she didn't say it to me, but she said it to, I don't know who she said it to, but it got back to me, saying that, oh, it's not going to be like show business. Oh, it's not going to be like he thinks it's going to be. He's going to be washing dishes somewhere. I've had people, but your own, it'd be your own people to say stuff like that. But I ain't have to wash nobody's dishes. Only dishes I wash is my parents and mine when I'm at their house, and I wash my dishes. I ain't have to wash nobody's dishes. I didn't have to wait tables. I would have did it if I had to, but I didn't have to. But that's what she thought my destiny would be. And I've already surpassed that. Before my dad died, he asked me, it almost seemed like a weak moment, or he was just unsure of what he had done for me. When, even though I've made it clear several times, but he was not on his deathbed, but he was in the hospital. He died like maybe 10 or 15 days later after we had this conversation. And he asked me, was I happy? I've said this 100 times. He asked me, are you happy? Like, 'cause he really wanted to know. And I said, yeah. I said, everything that I said that I wanted to do, I'm doing it. And it's because of him. Even when my mother said, are you on drugs? Are you spending all this money? You don't have any money. You're doing all those shows for free. My dad said, don't worry about it. He knew what I was doing. Sorry, I'm trying not to lose it. And to get a Tony, to be in a play that gets nominated for a Tony, and wins five of them things, to go to audition after audition, to go to that dream emporium of Ripley Greer Studios and go to these auditions. And I remember I went to this audition for Elf the Musical, and my manager's like, just said, hey, you know, just have the sides. It was like a quick thing. Just have the sides, you know, and bring a couple songs. I don't think I had a song book. I had one, but I don't think I had. I said, well, I can just sing a cappella and then I can read. They were like, no. I said, well, okay, I guess. And I guess I just like, I don't know if they didn't let me sing or something. And I read a scene, obviously didn't get it. I was just like, man, I wish I was just like maybe more prepared for that. But it was like Elf the musical said no. Could I have done that part? Of course I could. That the part that Faison Love had, the manager of the store, the toy store, whatever, department store. I could have did that part. But they were just really mean. That was like one of the weirdest, meanest auditions I ever had. I was like, Elf the musical, Jesus Christ, okay. They said no, but Sam Mendes' team said yes. And the homie Rick Younger would always say, think about the people that say yes to you. Yeah, you get the no's and everybody gets those no's, but who said yes? And you can look at IMDb and you can look at the producers that said yes, whether it be big or small parts, the people that said yes are pretty fucking illustrious. I think there's more for me. I think there's more out there. And that's one of the reasons why I just did feel weird about, like, I didn't know, like, it's cool to see your friend, your castmates together and they're celebrating and they're like holding the Tony. It's just like, I get it. It's dope. But I think there's more. I think there's more for me. It doesn't have to be no award, any awards or anything, but I think there's more. And then just have your family say the things that they say. Just as stuff that was said about my father that another aunt said to me, like, I don't know, I probably said it before, but one of them said the night that he died, that he hadn't even been dead for a day. And the first thing that one of my aunts said, my mother's sister said, like, oh, he wasn't perfect. And I said to her, I said, nobody is. And I wanted to curse her out. But out of respect for my mother, I didn't say anything. And anyway. But then I thought about that. I thought about, no, he wasn't. He wasn't perfect. But when I would always thank both of them, every now and then I would just thank them, you know, thanks for helping me. Thanks for being who you guys were. He said, well, they were very clinical about that. They would say, oh, you know, we're your parents and we had you and we just make sure you're okay. We're taking care of you. That's my job. And when somebody does their best, some people do the best that they can do. And their best is shit. So, and those people aren't perfect. But when a guy, an imperfect person, like my mom, like my dad, when they do their best, and it's fucking great, and it's better than that aunt was for her kids, when those kids have told, one of them at least has said, oh, I want to be like you when I get old. I want to be like, she wanted to be like my mom, or she wanted to have a husband like my dad or a father like my dad. What does that say about you? You know what I'm saying? Like, what does that say about her, you know? But you can't say that to anybody. I can't say. I'll say it on here. And just have people that want you to fail. I was just thinking about that a lot. I just kind of been carrying that a lot for a long time, even ever since college. You think like college is graduating from college is a huge accomplishment. And I think my generation and maybe it probably is different for generations, newer than mine, but like some people don't even think about it. You just graduate college, that's what people do, but it's not like that for everybody. I didn't realize that I was the first on my mother's side out of the grandkids, the first one to graduate. I just went and did what I had to do. did what, you know, knowing the sacrifices that my parents made and making sure that I was doing what I had to do, make sure that I was doing my job. And I didn't realize that until I was about to go, like a week, the week that I was, I said, you're the first, I said, oh, I didn't know. And then I know finding out that there was a lot of jealousy about that. I remember having that, a cousin say to me, 18 years old, she's probably got 10 years old, 10 years, 12 years on me. She might've been in her 30s at the time. I was 18. I remember being at my house. She said, oh, why are you going to that white school? Why don't you go to A&T? And I was thinking to myself, you didn't even finish A&T. You wanted to go, but you went and you didn't finish. But you're asking me why I'm not going to a black school? First of all, my parents were paying for it for me to go to Mount St. Mary's, and that's where they told me. That's where he told me I was going. That's where my dad told me. And it was a good experience. I don't think I would. I don't know. Hindsight is always 20/20, but coming from where I come from, I mean, it wasn't a bad decision. It was a good school. But to just like, oh, how come you ain't going to, just to try to break it down, it's like, you didn't even finish. I don't know. I'm going off track, but I'm thankful for the time that I got to spend with my dad, the sacrifices that he made. The Tony Awards were amazing. Like, it was amazing to be affiliated with that. I think there's more for me to do. I really do. Cause I think the universe keeps telling me something, keeps pushing me towards something. I don't know what it is. I feel like it's in this field. I don't know. All I can do is keep doing what I'm doing. Like I said, this podcast is a diary when there's not another guest, when JL can't do it, when Tim can't do it, or Andy or Randolph or whoever is on, you get me, and this is what I got. But for those of you that are struggling with your issues or the loss of somebody that you love, just keep going. Cause I think somebody said when people die, like they're ancestors now. And I really do think that there's some power in that they push you to go forward. Cause my dad, like a guy that he was somebody that lived by an example where he moved, he kept going. And so I got to keep going. I'm his legacy. I got to keep going. I got to figure this shit out as much as I can. All right. I don't know. Let's talk a little TV on to more lighter things. But man, I was just in this rut of being fucking angry. Just angry at the people that are supposed to love you and root for you, and they really just want you to fail. It's just because I don't put that energy out to people, and I don't want anybody to do it to me, so I don't do it to other people. And you know, they try to, I don't know. It just sucks. I don't know if anybody else is going through that, but just, especially if you know you're doing the right thing by you and you're not hurting anybody, then just keep your head down and keep going. I mean, that's the only advice I can give. I mean, cause I'm in the midst of it now and just trying to figure shit out. I'm just a guy trying to figure it out. Okay. Let's talk about some TV. So I had put this show called Little Voice on Apple TV. It's a short-lived TV show that was on Apple TV Plus. And I'll read you the blurb here. Bess King, a uniquely talented performer, struggles to fulfill her dreams while handling rejection, dating, drama, dating. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, God, Chris, come on, buddy. Best King. Let's read this. Let's read this Google blurb again. Best King, a uniquely talented performer, struggles to fulfill her dreams while handling rejection, dating drama, and complicated family issues. She finds her authentic voice and the courage to use it. So this is almost like Felicity if she was a musician. But she only got one season to do it. And it stars Brittany O'Grady, who was in The White Lotus on HBO Max. She was Sydney Sweeney's friend. I didn't like her character because she set that kid up at the end to fail. I like her as an actress, but I just didn't like her character, what she was doing. It's a good show. I mean, it was, I'm trying to think of the biggest star. This kid, Colton Ryan, played her, one of her love interests. He's most recently been in The Girl from Plainville, the Hulu series, based on that documentary. Is it based on a documentary? About the boy and girl who had a text relationship, and the guy was saying, like, I want to kill myself. And she said, you should go kill yourself. And he killed himself, and she got in trouble. They made a documentary on HBO, and they made a TV show on Hulu. He played that dude. Then he also played a character on Dear Evan Hansen, the dude that kills himself. So it was good. It was good to see him in something that where he didn't kill himself, and he was just like a regular dude that liked a girl. Really good. Really good singing. Sarah Bareilles. I always thought it was Sarah Bareilles is one of the. I believe she's the co-creator of the show. I think it's only like 8 episodes. Let me see. Let me make sure. 9 episodes. Okay. And it's really good. The plot was kind of, there's a lot going on that this, a lot of shit this character goes through, but I guess it wouldn't be dramatic if she wasn't going through anything, but she does have a lot of plate spinning. I mean, she's trying to make it in show business. She's got two jobs. And her parents are not together. Her dad's an alcoholic or a drug addict also. Her brother's autistic. And she's estranged from her mother. And it's just she's trying to make it in show business. And it's just a good show that just didn't last that long. I guess maybe the production value with the music was maybe expensive. Almost feels like this show was just maybe expensive, but Apple TV, you think Apple has a lot of money, but maybe the algorithms went to the people not watching it. And then maybe I watched it 2 years later, me not watching it, but I had it in my watch now. I had it on my queue for quite some time, but it's a very, despite all the drama, it's a pleasant show, if that makes sense. It does remind me of Felicity, even though the episodes are not as long as Felicity. I think, you know, Felicity was an hour long dramedy, maybe, you know, and this one, some episodes clock in at 30 minutes or so. But I recommend it. I really like it, especially if you want something, you know, pretty pleasant. I mean, I was really into Barry. Barry to me is one of the best shows on TV right now. Season 3 just finished, and I was telling JL to catch up with the show, because it's to me it's one of the best shows on TV. And we talked about feeling, you know, anxious watching the show, just with all this anxiety watching it. I felt the same way with Barry. I love the way they closed it out. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with season 4, because it just got recently got picked up and they're writing season 4 now. So, fantastic show, Barry. Little Voice. If you just want something that's like a pleasant palate cleanser. Like, I didn't want, you know, you just get to the point you don't want to see no, like, my favorite genre, to be honest with you, are kind of like the crime dramas with cops and detectives and the, you know, the snowfalls of it all, the we own this city's great, you know. I love stuff like that. You know, Jeff Bridges has this show that just premiered last night called The Old Man that I definitely fucking be into. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if I'm going to start on it right away. I almost want to let it build a little bit and then just watch, you know, binge some episodes on a chill night. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot out there. There's just so much content. And but I do recommend Little Voice. Obviously recommend Barry. I've been watching Miss Marvel, which I like. You know, I think that character, you know, I don't know how much I've talked about that Avengers game that people shat on so much, but I bought it because they had the Black Panther character coming in that standalone Black Panther game, which was pretty fun. But the Avengers game itself, the base game, centers off the Miss Marvel character, and I didn't know much about that character at all. But I really liked that character in the video game, and I liked her power. I thought that was the best character in the game, and her superpowers were great, and I just really dug it. And I just ended up in my playthrough, just ended up building that character up a lot, and enjoying that. So it's cool. It's cool to get to see, and it's also cool that her character is interested currently. I think her friend, her buddy in the show is a white kid who's kind of like her sidekick. I think he's got a crush on her. I don't know. But it's good to see a brown girl with a crush on another brown dude. I like that. I'm not about like stay in your own race, but it's like it's good to see that. Because usually, whether it's black, it's just good to see other ethnicities into each other. Like, it's just good to, I don't think they're different. I think they're both Indian of some, I don't know, but they're both brown, and she at least has an interest in him. Like, that's her object of affection. So that's good to see. And I hope I'm explaining that right. I'm not like into just, it's like, I don't want no mixing, but it's just like, yo, I like the fact that they're going that route for now. Cause so many times it's always like, oh, the white girl or the white guy, or, you know, I think some white girls are attractive. Don't get me wrong. I like my starlets and everything, but nice to see, you know what I'm talking about. I ain't saying nothing out of turn. I'm not saying nothing bad, but I like seeing that. Obi-Wan is fine. I'm on episode, I think I finished episode 4. So I guess there's 2 more that I need to watch, and I guess maybe the last one. I don't know how many episodes they're doing, but it's fine. So far, escort mission, like I've been saying. But it's fine, though. They're all kind of, I haven't watched Boba Fett, but it's cool. I'll finish it when it, you know. So some of these, I feel like I just need to, some of them you watch week to week. Like Barry is appointment television. Some of this other stuff I should just let build. Like The Flight Attendant's over. I could watch that. I like that. Yeah, I think I need to just let some of them build and then watch, you know, binge watch or something. I'm trying to think what I'm interested in now. Movie wise, I want to see that, Cha-Cha Real Smooth that's on Apple TV now. That just came out as I'm recording this today. That's the same dude, this young filmmaker. What's his name? What is his name? Cooper Rafe. He did this movie called Shit House last year or year before last. That got a lot of buzz. And so this got some buzz at, I guess, Sundance or somewhere, and Apple bought it, and now it's out. So I like Dakota Johnson, and Cooper Rafe is in it. Oh, he's directs and stars in it with Dakota Johnson. So I'm interested in seeing it. I always like seeing these movies where I don't think anybody gets their head blown off, you know? So it seems like it's going to be pretty good. Yeah, so that's kind of what I've been into. Yeah, guys, I've rambled a lot on this one. I hope that there was something in here. But I try to be as honest as I can, as transparent as I can on the pod. But yeah, just kind of, what does Kendrick say? I'm going through something. And he sure enough was. I don't know that I'm going through anything as deep as that, unless it's repressed, but I'm going through something, and it's relative to me, and I'm just plugging away. I'm just trying to keep my head down. I hope you all are trying to do the same thing. I hope you're staying safe. I hope that you're enjoying the nice weather. I hope they release the new vax for people my age, for people under 50, so we can get that going. That would be nice. Fauci got it. Fauci got COVID, you know. I got to see my mama. I want to see my mama whenever I can. So I need to be in tip-top shape with no COVID around. So I just hope everybody's enjoying, which isn't officially the start of summer. I guess next week it'll be. What is the start of summer? When does summer start? Summer. When summer starts? June 21st. So on this coming Tuesday, summer will officially start. So yeah, I just hope everybody has a safe weekend. Have a great Father's Day weekend. Have a great Juneteenth. And I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.